Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom of your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word longs that we know you in our lives, that we know your love and your hope, and that we live that out in our relationship with you and with one another. So please guide, speak to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit, and we ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. So I wonder how many times you and I have prayed the Lord's Prayer. In particular, the lines, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Or perhaps a better version for today's focus, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." We find in the parable, the passage before us today, that forgiveness is a focus. We're both reminded of our need for forgiveness and how much our debt is, but also our need to respond by forgiving others. And that can be hard, very hard at times. One example for me, many of you will know that I'm a head teacher. It's a job that I really enjoy, I feel is a calling, and is a great opportunity to serve God. But like any job, I've faced challenging situations in the past 30 years. One of the most challenging involved a member of non-teaching staff. I'd supported this person both professionally and personally. At times, they would ask me to pray for family situations. However, alongside this, there were periods of times that this member of staff sought to undermine me in my role. This culminated in a member of staff trying to sabotage an Ofsted inspection, causing incredible challenges and stress in the process. Then the following day, having been unsuccessful in their attempt to sabotage the Ofsted experience, then sought to attack me personally with unfounded accusations. And so I had to set a process in place to establish the truth. This led to a 7-month torturous process that impacted on my mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. The process exposed what had really been going on, and the member of staff was no longer at the school. The situation was challenging, but equally challenging were the thoughts and feelings I had towards that person at different times. And in the call, the challenge to forgive. I quite rightly followed the process to hold the person accountable. That still needed to take place. But in a sense, once that issue was resolved, the feelings I was left with about the person were incredibly intense. And I have to be honest, often very negative. In a sense, added to the challenge was my clear knowledge and understanding that I am forgiven by God. I also need to forgive and not to harbour negative feelings and thoughts. So what about you? Do you find it hard to forgive? Are there situations, are there people where today you've either not been able to forgive or you're finding it very difficult? I guess for many of us it's going to depend on what we're being asked to forgive. But for most of us, there may well be one or two situations that we're finding it hard to forgive, or we found it hard to reach that point. And the question of forgiveness is at the heart of the passage, the parable that Jesus told. This is our focus today. And it's really important we don't just read this passage together and for it to be something that's head knowledge. Because we see at the end of the passage that forgiveness is really about the heart. So many of you will know that we're in a series in Matthew's Gospel, and the big theme is we're called to repent, called to follow Jesus and be members of his kingdom. And we're to live in a different way because we're members of God's kingdom. And what is clear as we look at this passage today is that forgiveness is central to the kingdom of God. In fact, if there wasn't forgiveness and there was still a kingdom of God, it would be empty apart from God. Some of you may know the song, "What a Beautiful Name," and it has the following lyrics in it. "You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. Who could separate us now?" Without forgiveness, without Jesus, then God would have heaven without you and me. And that is not his plan. Forgiveness is integral to the kingdom of God. Well, let's get into the passage. So it's Matthew 18, and it's verses 21 to 35. And you probably find it helpful to have that open in front of you as we go through this passage. So the section today begins at verse 21, and it starts with "then." And actually, this passage is carrying on a discussion that started in verse 15. So if you have a look at verse 15, Jesus said, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over." So then we come to verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Now you might be initially perplexed as to why Peter chooses to say up to seven times. Well, the truth is, Peter thought he was being really good, that he was showing incredible forgiveness. Peter had more than doubled what was a Jewish tradition at the time of pardoning someone three times. So Peter went for seven. He thought that was a good number. But verse 22, Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Some versions have 70 times seven times. Jesus means many, many, many times. Well, I can imagine Peter was taken aback. He thought it was good saying seven. But then the parable makes the message very clear. So Jesus says in verse 23, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." So the scene is the king understandably wants to settle his accounts. A servant is brought before him, and he owes an incredible 10,000 bags of gold, or 10,000 talents. And it would seem, actually, it would take a servant 20 years just to earn one bag of gold or one talent. So paying 10,000 would take him 200,000 years of work. What is clear is it's a massive debt, and it's not possible for the servant to pay. So the master's initial response is that the servant's wife and children are sold, and that would have been the custom of the day. He wasn't being especially harsh. But then verse 26, as we saw, the servant fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." The servant is desperate, and perhaps he's edged his bets by just asking for a bit more time, even though it's clear, no matter how much time he had, he couldn't repay the debt. Verse 27, the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Notice that the master does more for the servant than he asks. The servant just asks for more time to come up with the money, but the master completely forgives him the debt. So what will this man's response be to the master's forgiveness of the debt? Will he be transformed in any way? Will he share his good fortune with others? Sadly, the answer is no. Verse 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees, begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. It's quite shocking, isn't it? The cruelty and the harshness of his actions in the light of just how he's been treated. Notice that the man's fellow servant falls down at his feet and begged him for patience, using the same words he himself had used before. "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." Surely this must have reminded the man of his earlier encounter, but apparently had no effect upon him. As a result, unlike the master, he does not show compassion or mercy to his fellow servant. Verse 30, but he refused. In fact, not only does he not show mercy to the man, he doesn't even show the patience that he himself had asked from his master. Instead, he demands payment right away and demonstrates his ruthlessness by laying his hands on the man, grabbing him by the throat and throwing him into the debtor's prison. Another stark contrast is the difference between the debt the man owed, the king, and the debt owed by the fellow servant. The man owed 10,000 bags of gold or talents. And as I say, that's about 200,000 years of work to pay off. Whereas his fellow servant only owes him 100 silver coins or denarii, the equivalent of 100 days' wages. 200,000 years, 100 days. The servant was forgiven far more than he was asked to forgive. Jesus knows there can be only one response to the parable. To see the incredible compassion of the king to the servant and the lack of compassion of the servant to one of his fellow servants. Indeed, we see this in verse 31 in the response of the other servants who had observed all that was taking place. Verse 31, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then we get the master's response. Verse 32. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And it seems right and fair, doesn't it? Well, Jesus then brings it back to Peter, back to you and me in verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. We are called as God's children, as members of God's kingdom, to live out the forgiveness we've received. We need to be careful, as this verse can seem to be conditional, as if grace is conditional. Jesus is not saying that we can somehow earn forgiveness by being forgiving towards others. The point of the parable is the opposite. Namely, the debt we owe is one that we can never pay. But those of us who have truly understood this and have experienced the forgiveness of God will be changed by it. And this change will be seen in our relationships with others. We need to remember, as Jesus was speaking, he was speaking to a culture steeped in legalism, making self right with God. Hence Peter's legal type question at the end, should I forgive up to 7 times? But Jesus says it's about grace, about mercy, about the heart. Forgiveness, first of all, is vertical, between me and God, between you and God. And then it's horizontal, it's with one another. Lack of forgiveness on our part shows that we've not fully understood the forgiveness we've received. We've not understood the debt that's been paid by Jesus. And Jesus warns against this. Jesus expects us to forgive others from the heart. We each need to have a forgiving heart, which is a result of a genuine experience of God's grace. But I think we know that can be a real challenge, as some of us will face situations of real hurt where forgiveness is hard. But we need to remember, God knows how hard it is to forgive. He sent his Son. Jesus knows how hard it is for you and me to forgive. He gave his life. He took upon himself the torment of my sin and your sin. And we get a glimpse of that, don't we, in the Garden of Gethsemane. I was at a church conference for head teachers recently, and there was a number of speakers, but two of the speakers spoke on the theme of forgiveness. The first was G. Walker. Some of you may know of her through the death of her son, Anthony, that was the focus of a TV drama the other year. Anthony Walker was murdered at the age of 18 in a savage, racist attack. He came from a Christian family. In the midst of her anger, her loss, her grief, how could G. Walker possibly forgive her son's killers? Well, I was going to show you a video clip of G. Walker, but time doesn't permit it. But I can encourage you, if you have access to YouTube, go onto YouTube, type in the name G Walker, G-double-E, and there's a 6-minute clip where G and her daughter talk about Anthony, talk about their loss, but also talk about forgiveness. It is incredibly powerful. The other speaker was somebody called Chris Lube. He grew up under apartheid in South Africa. And he recalled at the age of 8 seeing his mum end up in a coma as a result of being thrown from a bench by white police officers. Her so-called crime, sitting on a bench when she was feeling unwell, that said whites only. He saw a man thrown from a fast-moving train by white train guards. His crime? He'd boarded a train late and had to go through the whites-only carriage to get to the non-whites carriage. Or Chris himself, who was involved in peaceful protest, was imprisoned, tortured, including waterboarding. And yet just a few years later, when Nelson Mandela was president and Chris was asked to be his bodyguard, found himself working alongside the very officers who had tortured him. How could he forgive? Chris said he was outraged, he was full of anger, and he spoke to Nelson Mandela. And later on, Nelson Mandela said to Chris, I want you to go to a room, I want you to get a notebook and write down all of your anger, all of your thoughts. Chris spent hours doing that. He came down with his notebook, and Nelson Mandela led him outside where there was a fire. And he said, I want you to throw the book into the fire and for your anger to burn and for you to feel the flames of forgiveness, to be released from the hatred and bitterness that was eating him up. Chris referenced the saying, which I'm not too sure Nelson Mandela came up with it, but you may have heard it. But Nelson Mandela said to him, refusing to forgive, they say, is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Refusing to forgive, they say, is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Nelson Mandela himself said when he was released from prison after 27 years, as I am released from prison, I am free. But if I do not forgive, I remain imprisoned. We need to forgive in order to live out God's grace and mercy, with all the undoubted challenges that will mean for some of us. As members of God's kingdom, to show the power of forgiveness we first receive from God. Also, it's best for our well-being. We are going to have to live with the consequences of the other person's sin anyway. But to know God's forgiveness and living out forgiveness means we can do it without the bitterness, the hatred, the anger and thoughts of revenge that may well destroy our soul. G. Walker, if you watch that video, one of the things she said is, I was overburdened with loss, with grief for Anthony. I couldn't possibly carry the burden of anger, of hatred and bitterness. I needed God to carry that, for Jesus to carry that in forgiveness. The school situation that I mentioned does cross my mind every now and again. I can't forget it. But when it comes to mind, I've got a choice. I can either, first of all, focus on my debt and my need for forgiveness and ask God to help me, or I may be tempted to dwell on that situation, to feed it. If I do, I can guarantee you the feelings are not good, of anger, bitterness. So a few thoughts and questions for you and me to ponder. First of all, what is your, what is my 10,000 bags of gold? What is a debt that we cannot pay? What are the things we need our Master's forgiveness for? Romans 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So first of all, do you know God's forgiveness? You and I cannot pay for our sins, our debts, just as a servant couldn't work for 200,000 years. But the amazing good news of the gospel is that Jesus has paid for your debts. He's paid for my debts. Forgiveness for all. Our wrong is freely available in Jesus and only through him. If you don't know that forgiveness, please come before God. Seek his forgiveness. It is guaranteed in Jesus. Speak to one of us. Investigate it more. If you're here this morning as we've spoken about forgiveness, there's a situation or situations where you're finding it hard to forgive, where there's deep hurt. God knows that. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. And Jesus is clear, if we've genuinely received forgiveness from God through Jesus, if we know the depth of our own sin and the power of God's grace, then we will be able to forgive. But we know God is compassionate and God is patient. The key is, are we seeking to forgive? Are we seeking God in prayer, in silent prayer, and asking for the work of the Holy Spirit to help us to forgive those that we're struggling to forgive at the moment? Our intent is to forgive, even if we find it difficult. God longs that you and I know his forgiveness, our debts paid through Jesus, and he calls us to live out that forgiveness in forgiving others. Our first act, though, is to come before God, aware of the debt that we cannot pay. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that through Jesus, you have paid the debt of our sin. We pray, Lord, each one of us would know the freedom of our sins forgiven, our debts paid. We hear the call, Lord Jesus, to show that forgiveness to those around us. And we pray for any here this morning who are burdened and challenged in forgiving others. We pray, Lord, in your compassion, in your mercy, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you meet us? Would you enable us to show your forgiveness? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.